Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Sports City, we are back in the building. The charcoal is in the bed of this bad boy. We got the lighter fluid. I have the match. Let's go.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do.
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 50 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chef. And by me saying all of the charcoal and the bed of this bad boy, the lighter fluid, and I need the matches, welcome to the cookout. I'm feeling some type of way. So it's based upon everybody and anybody that may call in. The topic that you bring to the table, we throw on the grill, we cook this bad boy, dice it up as best need be. So I'm going to get my fellas, my brothers in here and have one of the best shows that we can, because I'm feeling some type of way, Sports City. I'm feeling some type of way. Calling in by way of the state of Indiana, we have AR, a.k.a. Mr. Robinson. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Well, let's start off with it's been a bad couple of days, you know.
Please. I want to talk about you.
You asked me how I feel, so I got to get it out. Let me go ahead and get it out just a little bit, you know.
Okay.
First off, my Yankees went over to Houston.
Bad boys in these pots, Steve. I got to cook. You cannot touch those pots.
No, you ain't going to cook me on that.
Press mute all across the world, please. If you hear his voice, please press mute until his rant is over. Please, let him get it out.
Now, I'm going to finish this. And then the Colts offensive line gives him 10 sacks in one game. 10 sacks. You can't be serious right now. And, yes, T.Y. Hilton has every reason to go out the offensive line because you can't give him 10 sacks. I'm done right now. I can't.
Sports City, I asked how he was, and he's already in my food. Like I've already brought stuff. You know what? I got to keep on rolling. Calling in by the metro area, by way of the state of Pennsylvania, we have Mr. Simmons in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, it's a pleasure to be here in the building with you all, man. Shout out to all those listening, whether you listening live with us or you listening to the podcast later, man. Thanks for checking us out as well.
Okay, so first and foremost, right, since we 7 weeks into the season, right, I mean, we near the halfway point, you know what I'm saying? And at the beginning of the season, right, these very fellas that I have on here, we're missing one because he's out there doing his thing. Shout out to Arkeez, even though you up here trying to diss me in the little group chat that we got going on. You're trying to play me, y'all. I will tell y'all what he said about me, man, but I feel the type of way, so I'm going to chill. But anyway, you know, so we started to show off this, you know, the NFL season came around right before week one kicked off. And I was like, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got a special team, you know, like they got a lot of young talent. They might be overlooked in certain areas, but I feel like they could be 8-8. You know, they might have a better season than 8-8, right? And these dudes, I want to call them fools or something like that just to be hoodish, you know what I'm saying? But these dudes laughed at me, you know what I'm saying? And I told them, I said, you know what? Watch and see who be laughing last, right? So we enter week 7, and these very old Jaguars go into, and this is the crazy part, people. They weren't in the state of Florida, into the state of Indiana. They went into Lucas Oil. Now, I understand. Andrew Luck ain't around, and they're not going to get the same output that they need to from their, you know, one of their highly coveted highly paid for quarterback than Andrew Luck, but they got Brissett there, and I'm not going to compare Brissett to Andrew Luck, but they got shut out by the Jaguar team at home. Now, the crazy part about this is not only did they get shut out, but now we have, I don't want to say problems, I call it qualms inside the locker room of T.Y. Hilton, which are A.R. spilt into of calling that front line out. Now, I'm getting mixed reviews. Some people are saying, just like A.R. said, some people are saying that he should have called that front line out. Other people are like, keep it in-house, don't address it in front of the media. I mean, what are you to do? And I know Arkeezy would be here, like, laughing or cracking on A.R., but the two wins that the Colts did get are up against teams that did not win yet. So it's like they are still in a struggle since it was two games that they were supposed to win. But besides that, the Jaguars are sitting atop the AFC South, tied up, you know, at the 4-3 mark with the Tennessee Titans. So it is just interesting. I said 8-8, people. I'm close, but they laughed at me, so I got to make sure I get that one out there because I wanted to get that one out there. Now, number two slab of steak that I'm going to throw on this grill, right, before I let these guys have at it, is I have two coveted Yankee fans, right? I have both of them on air right now, and they come for me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when the Twins played the Yankees, this, that, and the third, we lost, and it was you had to see AR, though. Look, the worst part about it wasn't even serious. Like, Mr. Simmons usually come after me for any game. Like, any matchup that I have with Sirius Simmons, he will let me know right at the three-second mark of the clock if the game about to end. 3 seconds left, I'm getting the text, like, or he's going to call me. Or he's going to let me know something. He's going to put it on my wall, right? Now, if it was to be me, I leave him alone. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference here, you know? There's a difference. But anyway, so the Yankees have an interesting lead in the ALCS. They went up 3-2, winning all three of their games in New York. They go to Texas and let those two games slip up against the Houston Astros, in which the Houston Astros will be playing tonight for the World Series. And the crazy part about it, in those last two games, it was a scoring total of 11-1. 7-1 that first game and 4-0 in the second game. And it was like, where did this Yankees offense go? What happened to Sanchez? What happened to Judge? Like, where did this offense go? The collapse. Now, the crazy part about this is Sanchez and Judge, they all get the experience of getting this far to an ALCS, so they're going to, you know, be hungry, thirsty, if you will. But these are the issues that they have, especially being these two Yankee guys that I have. Oh, and I just lost Mr. Simmons, too. Oh, he came back. I was about to say, I thought that he was getting too hot in the kitchen. I was just cooking, man. I was just cooking, Sports City. I ain't want Sirius to leave, man. I just was cooking a little bit. But, you know, I want to start there. With the Jags actually helping me hold true, they're above 500 right now. And right now we're also in front of the World Series Game 1, which takes place in the next 45 minutes or so, in which these Houston Astros up against the New York Yankees. So I will start with you first, AR. Your thoughts? I mean, you are the guy that's here from Indiana. You are the Colts fan. Your thoughts on how the Jaguars actually came in there with a shutout? And secondly, your thoughts on how the Yankee offense went to sweep Game 6 and 7?
Well, as you see, Sports City, I started off the show very disgruntled and upset about that. Because as far with the Yankees, you cannot go back to Houston and basically just get completely obliterated. You cannot. I mean, no way, shape, or form can you allow that to happen. It happened. They learned from it. And you know what? It's going to make us a stronger team in the long run, honestly. So you know what? We're going to have some good outlook on this. We're going to build, and we're going to get better. We got to work on getting our bullpen better and tightening that up a little bit more, too. Once we do that, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then with the Colts, all I can say is it's going to be a rough year. So please, Sports City, please just pray for me. Just pray for me. Because 10 sacks.
Here goes the crazy part about that. They're saying they're saying that Andrew Luck will potentially be out until December. Now, if he is out until December, Do they even bring him back? I mean, what's it worth for him to come back for, let's just say, four games? If the injury is really that severe, I'm going to just say if I were the GM, I'm resting him. What are we playing for? I'd rather tank than if that's the case, and they'd rather lose out than try to watch him get hurt again.
Well, the thing with Andrew Luck is he's done for this year, and what they're going to do. Now, this is just, you know, what I've been hearing. They're going to play Brissett, of course, and see how Brissett does and see, you know, if they could get something for him a little bit later. So, I mean, Andrew Luck's going to be done for this year. He's not playing at all. I mean, honestly, we're seven games in. There's really no reason for him to play unless there's a playoff run. But still at that juncture, you still probably don't want to mess up the chemistry of the team.
I'll find a perfect occasion right now to say this. Sports City, please vibe with me, please. And I think this happened like 20 years ago, 19 years ago. Playoffs, the playoffs, who won another game? Talk about the playoffs, and that happened to some team somewhere in the Midwest. I wonder what team that was. But playoffs.
Okay, you know what? You see, you guys are laughing, and I really like it. But you see, I'm going to draw back some scenarios here because you know what? Yes, the Colts got beat. But you know who was the last team that beat the Colts really bad and they made a really good run to the playoffs? The last team that beat them pretty bad was the Jacksonville Jaguars. 06. Jacksonville ran for over 300 yards on them.
Stop it now. You know what? I'm talking about basketball. Look at the Pacers. You know what I'm saying? Well, a week into the NBA season, football is done for you, sir. It is wrapped for you. Don't even try to paint the picture. Don't even try to live happy thoughts. It's a wrap for you.
Okay,
oh
okay.
My goodness.
So let me talk to you a little bit, Mr. Simmons, because you were one of the people that were here did not think Jacksonville would do well. They are doing well. Their defense is playing stellar, and just like you said, they had 10 sacks in a game. Now, I'm gonna take my Sports City apron off right now. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna kick it to you straight as TP Wood. You damn right I'm calling out the front line. If I was T.Y., well, I am T.Y. too. But if I'm on that team, you damn right. Listen, as soon as we get in that locker room, we probably going to fight. we probably going to end up swinging, pushing something. 10 sacks? You going to tell me that all I'm paying all of y'all over the veterans minimum. Y'all are probably getting over $750,000. And y'all can't block a soul up front. A soul. No, they was getting the Brissett left and right. So
let me keep it 100.
I don't blame T.Y. Hilton, but I understand why people say keep it in-house and don't let the media see it, but I do understand his frustration. Sirius, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on the situation that happened with the Jaguars, which you guys laughed about, the Colts and their issues, especially with Luck potentially being out till December. And don't forget that dish of your Yankees.
Hey, let me keep it 100 with you. You know what I'm saying? First of all, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is as true as it appears to be. You know, my issue was never really about the defense. It was about if Blake Bortles was going to screw it up for him. Ironically, he hasn't, you know, poo-pooed the bed like we know he can. So
yeah.
Congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars for finding a way to win outside of the starting quarterback. Congratulations to that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and boo-boo on the Indianapolis Colts. We knew their season was pretty much a dumpster fire once we found out that Andrew Luck wasn't going to be playing significant time this year. So the fact that they got the wins that they got was a gift. The fact that they, you know, have a fan in the building trying to, you know, throw some potion in a blender and mix something up to try to come up with some type of playoff scenario. You know what? To each his or her own. You know what? If that's what he has to do, you know, to sleep better at night, you know what? I'm not going to deny the man his sleep. Do you, homie? Do you? However, this Yankee situation, honestly, I can't be too mad at it. And here's why. We were on borrowed time. You know what I'm saying? We were literally playing with house money. If you look at how the season was, you know, supposed to play out, the Yankees were not supposed to be this good this year. You know, look at all the spring training, you know, videos. Look at all the stuff that happened last year. The fact that Joe Girardi was playing for his contract situation and plans to be the next manager of the New York Yankees, and all that type of stuff that's surrounding the ball club, Aaron Judge, strikeouts, and, you know, is CC going to play, and, you know, all the craziness surrounding the ball club, they were not supposed to be that good this year. Again, we had them where we wanted them, and to borrow a phrase or a segment from the late Vinny Green, the Astros are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. You really can't blame anybody but yourself for that. But once again, I can't be too mad at the Astros for finding a way to crawl back into the series and get a pivotal Game 7 win at home. That's why you play all these games. This is why they were the best team in the AL throughout the whole year. I think for the first time in a long time, in my honest opinion, we have the two best clubs from each conference squaring off in the Fall Classic. The Dodgers, as well as the Astros, have been the best two teams all year. They get to square off for the right to be champion. Congrats to them, but I cannot be mad at the Yankees for coming up a game short. I can't do it.
Well, the crazy part about it is how they looked in Game 3, Game 4, and Game 5, where they were hitting the ball out of the park, even though that we know that right field and Yankee Stadium has a short porch, but they still were getting bombs from Judge. And then they go into Game 6. They only put up one run, which actually came in like the 7th or 8th inning, and they got shut out in the second game. Well, Game 7, excuse me, I'm saying the second game, but the second game of the, you know, home-at-home-at-home situation. And like I said, I tip my hat to the Yankees because they did get further than a lot of people anticipated. And CeCe Sabathia, he was pitching off of, you know, I want to say fumes because, you know, I wonder how much is left in his tank at the end of the day. But this is good for the young talent that they do have on this team to gain that experience and put a hunger in them in seasons to come. Now, it's interesting that Sears threw that out there is the Dodgers and the Astros are going at it. And I wonder which pitcher has the most pressure on them. Is it Keuchel? Or is it Kershaw? And everybody knows Kershaw has not been successful in the postseason in his history. I mean, he has some flashes, some games in previous years, but his record is very questionable up until this point. Or is it up to Keuchel to actually try and get this one on the road, being one of the strongest aces in the major leagues right now, to get this done? I'll come right back to you, Sirius, your thoughts on the aces that are going tonight between Kershaw and Dallas.
No, honestly, man, I'll be painfully honest with you. I think the more pressure, if you want to call it that, is on Clayton Kershaw. You know, this has arguably been the best pitcher throughout the regular season for the past few years. And the fact that he and his ball club find himself in this position is something spectacular. I mean, this team has lost one game throughout the whole postseason. One game. You know, and that's, you know, a meaningless Game 2 situation to the Washington Nationals. But, you know, they've been running through the regular season, running through the postseason. And so if you're the Dodgers, you send your best, you know, the guy who, you know, is cited as, you know, another Cy Young candidate, another Cy Young winner to the bump, you know, you got to be flawless. You got to pitch pretty much your best game. You know what I'm saying? Again, this is why you pay those pitchers those dollars. This is why you work so hard to get, you know, home field and get your ace on the hill for moments like this. You know what I'm saying? And again, Kershaw's record postseason, again, you alluded to it, speaks for itself. He's not, you know, quote unquote Cy Young postseason material due to his one loss record, and his ERA is, you know, Kershaw I think has the more pressure on him to go out there and have a good start. He can't, you know, get yanked early. He has to go deep into the game, seven in the third or, you know, something like that, you know, to give the Dodgers a legitimate chance, because let's keep it 100. Them Astros bat are lethal. So if they get to them early, the Astros can run away with this thing pretty quickly. So I think more pressure's on Kershaw.
Okay, same question applies to you too, AR, but I'm going to spice this one up because I got to. It's the cookout. I got to. If the Dodgers do get this done, bring the World Series back to California, is Donnie Baseball really cursed? I mean, honestly, is Donnie Baseball cursed?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, but what it's going to come down to, and, you know, as Siri stated, first off, the Dodging pitching staff has to come with it. I mean, Kershaw has to come with it fully. We've seen his performance so far, and it really hasn't been too desirable. But honestly, I think, like, with them, with the Cubs winning the series last year, it's been a long time since, you know, the Dodgers had that opportunity to actually have the World Series. So it's going to be, you know, interesting to see how they play tonight. And with them being in L.A. and, you know, Houston, it's not really a cross-country trip, to say the least, but, you know, them taking that trip. And Houston's been playing very well at home, but not too well on the road. So it's going to be, again, another thing of how the pitching staff for the Dodgers can actually come with it tonight and for the rest of the series. So it's going to be a good series. It's going to be, you know, pretty entertaining, I should say. I mean, Altuve himself is a beast, so he's going to definitely knock a couple out of the park, I believe, this week. I mean, this series itself, but it's going to be an interesting series in itself, but Kershaw has to come with it.
And the interesting reason why I said Donnie Baseball is cursed is because I talked about Don Mattingly, and a year or two ago he was the skipper, or a.k.a. the manager of this Los Angeles Dodger team, in which him and Yasiel Puig was going at it back and forth, and he benched Puig and things of that nature. Well, now Puig is hitting the ball. Donnie Baseball is no longer a part of the Dodgers organization. And since his playing days of with the New York Yankees, he never won a World Series with the Yankees all throughout the 80s. And he hasn't won one as a manager either. And him going down to Florida makes it even more interesting as well. But for him to leave this team and this team find its luster and hit on all cylinders, their pitching staff has been pretty good as well. I mean, is it him? No, but I don't want to pin it all to him. But the Dodgers have been definitely successful. But I don't know which pitcher I hold a lot of this pressure to. I mean, Kershaw being at home is one facet in itself, but if people don't know what's going on in California right now, it is over 100 degrees right now. Listen, it is 4:24 in the afternoon right now in California. It is over 100 degrees right now on October 24th. They say the game time, when the game starts in the next 30-plus minutes, it should be around 95 degrees. That is still, for me, that's too hot. Like, for me, I don't do well with the heat. I want winners. You know what I'm saying? I can't win with them. I can't, no. So I understand they're saying that the heat may be a factor in a good way of these batters, you know, knocking balls out of the park, things of that nature. But Kershaw has that pressure of winning at home, the crowd getting hyped up for him, and, you know, watching to see if Dallas could keep that crowd to a hush or to a boo, if you will. But it I mean, the story-wise, I mean, it can't get any better than this. So I had to throw that one out there, especially with the two resident Yankee fans here. I had to do that. Now, the next topic I have to throw on the grill, and I'm going to start letting you guys start trying to throw things out there, is are they getting too severe with penalties or suspensions or fines, if you will? Now, there was an interesting situation that happened in the Memphis Grizzly game up against the Golden State Warriors, in which Steph Curry had a play in question, and where he was frustrated, and once again, he's 2 years removed from that finals when he threw his mouthpiece. But he threw his mouthpiece again and got ejected. Then Kevin Durant got ejected as well. This tossing of his mouthpiece cost him $50,000. Wait. I don't know if y'all understand what I'm talking about. This is a mouthpiece that may cost as much as $10, people. And he threw it, and he got fined $50,000. Now, I understand, are they trying to make an example of him, trying to take that from the game, like not having that temper tantrum antic that he has? Because I'm going to keep it real. People may say, oh, you're being bitter, you're a Thunder fan, so on and so forth. Steph has to, like, cool it, man. He's going to be 30 this upcoming, I think, March is his birthday. This March he'll be 30, and he's still throwing a tantrum. If he doesn't get a call, so he's going to throw his mouthpiece. But on the other spectrum, playing the devil's advocate, on Steph's side, $50,000, you see people getting into fights on the floor. You've seen flagrant fouls. I mean, hell, Derrick Rose is out again because of the flagrant foul by Greg Monroe. No harm, no foul, no situation like that. But you're fining him $50,000 to make an example out of him? I just don't get it. And there needs to be consistency, unless they're looking at it, well, he just signed a $200 million contract. We're coming for everything. I understand that he's human also. You gotta look at him in that light. So I'll throw that one around the kitchen. AR, I'll start with you first. Steph Curry in the $50,000 toss. Serious, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, homie.
Okay. AR, are you there? I see him still in queue. We may be having a little technical difficulty. Okay, so Sirius, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on the situation with Steph Curry in this $50,000 incident?
You know, honestly, man, it's I think for me, I don't want to say because he signed, you know, X amount of dollar, you know, contract that they're coming for everything. Because honestly, Steph, in my opinion, with the mouthpiece toss, is what you would call a habitual offender. You know, I put that in the same category, and this is going to sound really weird, but I put that in the same category as a Vontaze Burfict, in a sense that when you habitually break the rule and you habitually do the same damn thing over and over, the fines subsequently have to get steeper. I mean, I would hate to see Steph get suspended for throwing a $7.99 mouth guard. However, I fear that would be the next step. I don't even think he would. They would flip if he wore arm sleeves to a game and he took that off and threw that. You know, I don't even think, but it's the mouth guard. You know, he's been, you know, cited for doing that before. So I do agree with you. There needed to be consistency across the board with how, you know, penalties and fines and suspensions are levied out. And that's just not with the NBA. We can take that across all major networks of sports, whether that's NFL, Major League Baseball, as well as the MLB, is whatever the case may be. But again, I'm not too sure if I can, you know, stamp on that. They want to come for his whole check. Definitely to do better. Now, again, as a ball player myself, I understand that, you know, frustration with an official happens. I mean, I've been tossed out of my fair share of games for saying something that I should never have said, or if my dad would have heard me, I would have, you know, got preached to about, you know what I'm saying? I'm keeping 100 with you. I've thrown several mouth guards, several football helmets, several basketballs at officials. I mean, I've been there, I've done that, because I play the game that passionately. I expect 99.9% of the calls to go my way, whether I'm right or wrong. I mean, that's just how I wire. So the thing is, with that particular game, there was a lot of back and forth with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. And if you fast forward to what took place yesterday against the Memphis mm-hmm. Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets, there was a lot of back and forth between that, to the point where James Harden got into a shoving match with Mario Chalmers. So if you look at how the Memphis Grizzlies play, that's how they like to play. They muck it up. They get under your skin. They kind of take your mental out of it, and you have to know that going in. So, again, I'm not trying to, you know, make a I guess you would call it a atonement or get out of jail free card, so to speak, for Steph Curry. But I do understand. But again, you have to be smarter than that, you know. As your name is Steph Curry, you can't be throwing mouthpiece. Maybe you should take the Draymond Green approach and start kicking people. I don't know.
Okay. AR, are you there? Do we have you back?
Yeah, I'm here. We were talking about what was the question there?
Well, it was about the incident that happened with Steph Curry and him getting fined for $50,000 for throwing his mouthpiece. Oh my God! That's funny. I like that. But the one in defense for Steph is the consistency. If other players do crazy antics, do they get $50,000 fines, or are they just looking at how much the player may make? And was Steph one of the casualties of how much money he's bringing in altogether? And also looking at this situation, just like Sirius pointed out, because I was trying to get to it, but he's off eating my dish real crazy. Are the Grizzlies that old school Detroit Pistons bad boys basketball? I'm not saying they are the bad boys, but knowing that they just started a fight last night with Chalmers and James Harden trying to get out of a screen scenario, and Chalmers started kicking at his feet. They almost got into a fight, and Harden was actually charged the offensive foul. And they gave Chalmers the technical. So knowing that this is ways that they can get into people's minds, are they looked at the new age similarities of the bad boys? I don't want to call them the bad boys, because, boy, I'm not going to lie, I could stand to watch a Memphis Grizzlies game. I could not stand to watch a Detroit Pistons game at all.
Well, you got to remember, Memphis has always been a physical, tough-nosed team, no matter who's playing for them. No matter what. I mean, that's what has gotten Memphis to the playoffs so many times is, you know, they have been a physically tough team, and you got to really understand what you're going to get into going in there. It's not just going to be peaches and cream. You're going to have to fight 48 minutes to come out with a W. Now, with Steph Curry throwing his pacifier, first off, the reasoning on why, and this is just speculation, folks, on why he probably got fined so much is, number one, he threw it at a referee. And the NBA has already stated that, you know, they're going to protect their referees. They're going to protect their officials. Now, also, this isn't the first occurrence. This is the second occurrence. So they're probably also going back and thinking, oh, well, you know what? He's done this twice. This isn't the first rodeo for him. This is the second time that he's done this. And, I mean, let's go ahead and take a little bit more. And he threw it at an official. I mean, I don't know if he hit him or not, but he threw it at him. Now, and then another thing is Steph Curry needs to stop, because, first off, you didn't get fouled. I watched the replay numerous times. Didn't nobody touch you. He was crying and wanted the call, you know, to probably try to spark his team, because they were getting beat. Even though the score didn't really fully state that they were getting beat, I watched the game. They were getting beat. I mean, physically dominated, and Memphis just took it to them. So it was just probably time for him and KD to just, you know, go ahead and leave and head for the showers a little early, because nothing they were doing wasn't going to help them in that game.
Now, and I understand they protect the referee, things of that nature, but $50,000 is the one thing that I'm questioning. Like, I can see if they said $5,000 or $10,000. Okay, $10,000, y'all want to put it in between 20 or – and not even – I'm actually, like, blowing my mind in that, you know, in that case, I'm actually trying to set up a scenario where $50,000, y'all damn near close to $100,000 for a toss. That's a police officer's salary. You know what I mean? Like, just for him throwing his mouth, he's like, come on. Come on, let's be real here. Like – but I get it. They want to, you know, show integrity to the game. I understand. I'm with you, too, or also ARs. You know, I like that you use the pacifier term, but he has to be more mature in that scenario. Even if he's not getting a call, for him to throw his mouthpiece is a whole other scenario. But the $50,000 is what I'm wrapped up in. It's like, come on, like, give him a $5 fine. If y'all so hard
I mean,
up
but
giving
it,
him a fine.
It wasn't his first time. It wasn't his first time. He's done it before. Right. He threw the mouthpiece before. Right.
Yeah, but the first time was in the finals, and that wasn't a questionable call. Not to say that I'm siding with him for throwing his mouthpiece. I'm not. I'm just saying that the first time was in the finals where it was a questionable call that he did not get, and he threw the mouthpiece at one of the owners of the Cleveland Cavaliers' son that was sitting on the sideline and hit him, and he ended up getting ejected in that game also. But I don't know if this is an agree or disagree scenario, but I'm shaking my head on the inconsistency of how they're finding or coming around to these rules and regulations within the league.
But, yo, real talk, is it really inconsistent? Because, again, you just alluded to the fact that, you know, again, me and AR saying this isn't his first rodeo at throwing the mouth guard. I mean, he got through the mouth guard the first time in NBA Finals, had a fine, was ejected. He threw the mouth guard a couple of days ago, had a fine, was ejected. You know what I'm saying? So if your issue, ironically, is consistency, I'm not sure you're there. Now, I will back you on the fact that maybe 50 sacks was a little bit much, but once again, you have to send a significant message to these players, especially in this situation, that, yo, keep your pacifier in your mouth. You say whatever the heck you want to say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been to several basketball games and seen these players cuss up and down and say all kinds of filth and foul. Once you start, quote-unquote, demonstrating, and again, my man Royce is an official. He'll probably attest to this better than anybody. Once you start making a demonstration, you know, towards a referee or official, and that's when they got to protect themselves and the integrity of the game, because if you let one get away with it, then they lose control of the ball game, and they aren't going to get away with it. I understand the suspension. I understand the ejection. I understand the team. I somewhat agree. Understand there's a fine as well. Yeah, you can't be throwing pacifiers, man. You can't be doing that.
Well, and not even just that alone. He threw his mouthpiece, and then he started coming towards the official. So now you got, you know, you got two combined things, like, you coming at me now. And, you know, I'm official as well, and he being that demonstrative, first off, yeah, you are going to get ejected now. The league, they're going to decide what the rest of your penalty is going to be. And, you know, again, it's not his first rodeo. He's done this before. And, I mean, I would understand if $50,000 for his first occurrence. $50,000, okay, for the first time of him actually getting in trouble like that, that's a lot. But for him doing this in back-to-back years, and it's the same thing, I mean, come on now. Like, yeah, something's got to give. I mean, and then they just fined Cousins $25,000 for cussing on the court, I believe it was. So they're trying to, you know, hamper down on a lot of the stuff that's happening. I mean, you mean to tell me that you're going to keep throwing your mouthpiece out your mouth? Okay, all right, we're going to keep adding up the total. So you making roughly about $20 million a year, and you keep getting fined $50,000 for throwing your mouthpiece, you're going to be losing money quicker than anything. So it's going to teach you to stop throwing it or stop doing what you're doing. Like, and what they are trying to show, I mean, what they also are trying to say is that you guys are role models. You need to act like it when you're on the court. I mean, you got to be professional. I mean, he can still get mad at the official and get ejected. Just go over to the official and tell me, throw me out of the game. I'm pretty sure he'll do it. But don't throw the mouthpiece at him.
And let's keep it right there in the state of California, the city of Oakland, two different sports, though, including the referee. It's bad because I'm not even going to act like I don't like Steph. I like Steph. I do like Steph. But another player, same scenario, Marshawn Lynch. And it's interesting because, quote, unquote, his cousin was in a scuffle in that game up against the Kansas City Chiefs. He went to go break it up. The ref tried to get him out of the way. He put his hands on the referee, and he was actually ejected from the game, in which today they state that his suspension was upheld for the upcoming game, in which they are playing up against his former team, the Buffalo Bills, that sent him packing and sent him to Seattle. I definitely wanted to see him play up against Buffalo. So thank you, NFL, for that one. At least the NFL got it right. But, I mean, are they really making the example with the no matter whom it may be, big name or not, across the board in these sports? I mean, we're already talking about Steph Curry. Steph easily has to be one of the top five or top 10 players in the league, you know, whether if I think that's a high fine or not, that they're making an example out of him and ejecting him. And in the same light, Kevin Durant, you know, made a gesture and got kicked out of the game as well. Well, now you have Marshawn Lynch, who actually got ejected, but they actually upheld the additional game suspension. I want to hear how you guys feel about Marshawn's issues in the same city of Oakland as well. I'll start with you first, Sirius.
You know, the situation with Marshawn Lynch for me is a little bit different, and here's why. Again, we all sitting here have played this game and played it to some level of success, okay? And in the middle of a scuffle of that magnitude, you're grabbing at whomever is touching you. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if it's friend, you don't know if it's foe, you don't know if it's official or not official. You're just grabbing to protect yourself. Now, I understand there is a rule. You don't put your hands on officials. I understand that. I agree it's for the safety of the officials. I get that. However, some level of common sense has to go into play with these officials and with the people governing this situation. Okay? I'm a grown-ass man. Okay, that's even 100. If I'm in a physical, you know, altercation, yelling, screaming match, pushing match with another person, if somebody comes behind me and tries to pull me away, I'm immediately going to turn and grab whomever that person is. That's just natural. You know what I'm saying? You don't have time to sit there and do the math equation and figure out if it's an official, if it's, you know, wife or, you know, friend or foe or nothing. You're just going to naturally do that. So I understand where Marshawn was coming from. Now, again, because it just so happened to be an official, you know, you're going to have to sit out the Buffalo Bill game, pay your fine, and move on. But I do believe that in that particular situation that the NFL has to significantly look at the position that they're putting their officials in those scrummages, so to speak. I mean, again, we're all men. We've all been in that type of heated combat before. You're setting these guys up to fail once you put them in that situation. You're setting these referees up to be contacted, whether purposely or not purposely, by these players. It's really a lose-lose situation once you get to that point.
Okay, AR, your thoughts on the Marshawn Lynch incident, and how do you feel about them upholding the one-game suspension?
Well, I mean, as Siri said, you know, we've all have played football, pretty much. Almost every man in America has played football. Everybody knows if you put your hands on an official at any level, you're pretty much going to get suspended the next game. So, I mean, there's really no debating about it. I mean, he put his hands on him, even though it was in the heat of the moment, and, you know, it happened. I mean, he has to serve the penalty. I mean, they're not going to rescind it. He's got to serve the penalty. It sucks, but, I mean, you know, it is what it is. When you put your hands on the officials, even in basketball, you're going to have to serve a suspension. Each league will protect – they're going to protect their officials just like they protect the players. And, you know, the officials are – they have every right to, you know, be there just as you do. So you put your hands on them, you're going to get suspended.
Okay, fair enough. Understandable. Like I said, the consistency. I actually agree with the front office and the referee that, yeah, you're right, he shouldn't put his hands on the referee, but for him to miss games, those refs are tough enough. They're tough. Look at Ed Hockley, one of the strongest refs I've ever seen in any sport. Like, they could take a push. This is one of the ultimate men's sports. It's football. So just kind of tone it down, if you will. Okay. Well, I want to see if you guys have anything that you guys would like to throw on the grill. I mean, we are running down on time because I do want to get everybody out to the World Series so we can see game one. Is there any topics or dishes that you guys would like to throw out there on the grill? Silence does help me. So I'm going to throw a critical question out there, and I want to see how you two feel about this one. Sports City, forgive me, God, forgive me if I'm saying this in the wrong light. Please do. Serious, I'll start with you. No, I'll save you for last on this one. AR, I'll start with you first. With him breaking his arm, is Carson Palmer's career over?
Yes.
He laughed,
come
and
on,
I'm dead.
Come on, Timeless.
But, hey, like, come on, T. I thought we were going to come with, you know, something stronger than this.
Oh, man.
Wait. Well, let's keep it honest. Let's look at his timeline of him being injury prone. He broke his arm. He popped his leg twice. This is his throwing arm. Like, Carson Palmer he's going to be 38 this December. He's getting up there.
He's done.
Right. No, I agree. I threw this out there like I'm in agreement with Sirius. Do you feel like he has more in the tank?
I don't feel like he has more in the tank at all. But, I mean, Carson Palmer is going to rehab like a man possessed, and we'll see him next year suiting up for the Arizona Cardinals because, let's face it, Bruce Arians is a dummy. They're not going to allow the guy to walk out the pasture and shoot the old ox. So they're gonna let him wreck another season, ruin another franchise, just like he did with that squad he left before in Cincinnati. Carson Palmer, if he's smart, he's looking at me right now. My man, you made enough money. You're taking enough hits to the head. Clearly. Hang him up.
It's time. Here's how I ice the cake. Listen to this. This is why I knew that there's a strong possibility of his career being ended. You remember the beginning of this season who they were begging to come back to play football for them in Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald said, I will only come back if Carson is here. Carson came back. Larry may end up being gone, at the end of this season. So this is why I'm looking at this, you know, as a whole cog. You know what I'm saying? Like, not pieces to the cog. You know what I mean? To make the whole wheel. You know what I mean? Like, Larry may be gone if Carson ends up hanging him up. Then you got Stanton. If not Stanton, then which way do they go at the quarterback position? You know what I mean? So
this is the whole problem. Like, Arizona literally has brought this upon themselves. First
they haven't even drafted a quarterback.
Exactly. They haven't drafted a single quarterback in, what, the last four seasons? And then
right.
on top of that, Larry is like 35 years old. Of course Larry's going to be retired.
He's still doing it. He's still playing at a high
level.
I mean,
he's doing it, but he's not the same Larry. Like, let's all be honest here. Larry Fitzgerald is Larry Fitzgerald. But he's not the Larry Fitzgerald that was in the Super Bowl. He's not that Larry
right.
Fitzgerald. And he's not the Larry Fitzgerald of old. He's a slower, reduced version of himself. He already knows that he's not going to be playing much longer. He already knows he's not going to probably play next year at all. I mean, he's probably going to pull what's my man, Anquan Boldin. He's probably going to pull Anquan Boldin and go to training camp for like a couple days and be like, you know what, you guys can have it. I'm good. But Larry's done. Carson's done. Arizona's brought this upon themselves. They don't have a quarterback. Drew Stanton is not the answer. I mean,
To make matters worse, all of this while they just brought Adrian Peterson in the door. So Adrian Peterson just got there, you know, thinking that they have a good cavalry around them, and not only do they lose the quarterback, past this season, depending on what Larry Fitzgerald may end up doing, Fitzgerald may end up being gone too. So that's why I had to kind of
keep it 100, though, Ty. Let's keep it 100. I mean, AP's only on a one-year deal anyway. So theoretically speaking, even as Larry Legend, you know, rise up to the sunset, you know, AP can go sign wherever he wants to go sign. I mean, there's nothing really holding them to Arizona.
I think he's in a good place in Arizona because that offense kind of suits his style of play. So it's interesting. But David Johnson will be back next year too. So that'll
Correct.
Be an interesting situation too.
I do got something to talk about before we get out the building.
Okay.
As you all know, I am your resident AFC North Pittsburgh Steelers fanatic. Okay? And there is some rumbling amongst the wide receiver core. I really need to address Martavis Bryant for a second.
Do you mind if I go first?
Give me one second. I'll let you get into this in one second. I gonna go off on you. I was gonna let this slide. I really was. I thought about it. I sat here when he asked me the first time, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna let 10 slide. However, the more I sat here, the angrier I became. So, with that being said, AR, how do you feel about Martavis Bryant?
First off, I'm going to get, you know, my resident Stephen A. Smith on right now. How dare you be upset with a franchise that has had your back for numerous occasions? Do you not understand if you get one more drug test wrong, you are out of the league? Does he not understand that? But yet you trying to say that they're not giving you enough touches? How dare you? You didn't even play last year. You were done a whole season because you flunked the drug test. Because you can't get off the pipe. Get off the weed. Play football. You have a whole you have a two-year contract left. You got 2 years left on it. Play your contract out and then leave if you don't like where you're at. Don't try to demand a trade like you that player. We ain't even seen nothing much from you since you've been playing. It's glimpses.
of glory, glimpses of, oh, what is he doing? Like, come on, man. Like, that's a come on moment right there. You cannot demand a trade if you've barely been on the football field and you've been suspended more times than you've actually been on the field. You can't demand a trade.
Okay, Mr. Simmons, that is your team. I'll let you close out on that scenario of the, you know, days of the lives of the Steelers.
You know, this came out last week, you know, for me, and like other Steelers fans and Tomlin, it was really a non-issue because I didn't really believe the BS, so to speak. And so after Cincinnati game, which we really just kicked behind and took names, my defense is ridiculous. We had a loss another day. It comes out again. Let me make something perfectly clear, Martavis. What my man AR said was correct. You know, we stood by you and while you was getting off the weed and you missed that in the third. We gave you an opportunity to get your life right, you know, and come back and play football. Okay. You were given today 35 targets. Today, if those of y'all who follow me on Facebook, look on my wall, okay? Antonio Brown leads the league with pass attempts at 84. No surprise here. He's the baddest SOB on the planet. No argument there, okay? Behind him on our team is Le'Veon Bell. Once again, no argument there. He's the baddest SOB to ever play the position right now. Don't go there with me. Okay, right behind him is Martavis Bryant with 35 attempts. Now, you may have only caught what you have caught. Okay, that's not our fault. Don't get mad at Juju Smith-Schuster, who came in, worked his butt off, and is now gone down as the youngest player in league history to catch a touchdown at 20 years old. Cat had 3 touchdowns in 7 games and had 24 catches to his name. Don't get mad at the little youngin. We came out. Check this out. This is how stupid this guy is right now. We went out this offseason and picked up Justin Hunter, a wide receiver with your same build, with your same skill set from the Buffalo Bills. This brother only dressed one game because we're trying to push you back into where you were before you decided to exile yourself from the league for a year. And now we're in a position to make a legitimate flipping run, and you want to sit there and talk about I want out. Let me tell you how this works, baby boy. You were suspended for a year. We still owe you for 2 more effing years because you're still on your rookie deal. So even if you quote-unquote want out, we're not letting you out. That's how this shit works. So before you go out and start demanding trades, before you go out and start being upset because you're not getting your attempts and your touches, remember one thing, buddy. You're Martavis Bryant. You're not Antonio Brown. So, you know, if you want to get up to that level, you know, pull him to the side and get his work ethic. You know what I'm saying? The man doesn't drop anything. So let's talk about that. Catch the ball when throwing you because right now you lead our team in drops. So, you know, that's not counting the overthrows that Ben overthrew you because you pulled up, you know, short on a couple go routes. Okay, whatever. We came out the first play of the game last week and threw you an end of the round and you gained, what, 4 yards? You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about your preparation. Let's talk about how you have decided to call in, quote-unquote, sick for a mandatory team meeting yesterday because your feelings were hurt because the rookie got in the end zone and decided to play hide-and-go-seek with Le'Veon Bell. That could have been you. That could have been you, sir. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with this clown, man. Yo, get that thing on the floor,
hey,
man. Tighten up.
In end zone playing Duck Duck Goose?
I don't know what's going on. I will say this. This week we have another tremendous opportunity on prime time for 10 to flex and do what he's supposed to do. We've got the Detroit Lions, and again, Ty and I are going to go at it. We are going to go at it this week, but that's another show for another day. We're out of time here, but show the F up. We have the potential to be the baddest offense in the damn league. We won without you, so we've shown that we don't need you to win. We made it to the AFC Championship without you. Okay, and let's keep it 100. The Patriots are not what they've been looking like before. I mean, I'm not too sure if you've been watching, but there's a window for us to put a chink in that armor and get to a Super Bowl. This is that year. That defense has gave up 300-yard passes to everybody but last week.
Slow down. If they shut down Julio and them boys, don't.
I said last week, and again, don't get me started on that game, because that game was more about what Atlanta didn't do and much less about what the Patriots did. Because let's keep it 100. The play calling and the route selection and this, that, and the third, and where Matt Ryan went with that ball in critical moments was pathetic. But again, that's another conversation for another day.
Right.
Child, let's get us out of here, homie.
Yeah, I'm going to get us out of here because Sports City, y'all know me, especially him, being Aaron Simmons. I'm not going to talk about the enemy, so I like everything that's going on in Pittsburgh. Blow that up. I don't care. Blow him up. So we are going to end on that note, Martavis. We are going to hope you make your way to Michigan somehow, give us every last bit of that playbook, and just sneak out the back door. Break.
You may have a playbook, but you can't stop it.
Hey, I'm not going to start talking junk. You got to control your own house. I was always told, clean up your backyard first. Now.
We'll be all right. We'll be in your backyard scoring touchdowns in Arizona playing duck.
Hey, first of all, Antonio Brown was going at it with Coach Haley because he was wide open on the play up against the Ravens. He pushed Haley's hand off him. Now Martavis is telling them he want to go. They don't want to pay Le'Veon Bell. Things that make you go, Okay.
And we still 5-2 about to go into your building and box on your goal.
Hey.
Let's go, Le'Veon. Ring the bell. Let's get it.
Le'Veon's from Michigan. Hopefully he'll put a Christmas gift under the tree for us, fumble a few times. I love it. AR. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Well, it's Sports City. It's been another fantastic evening with everybody today. This is your boy AR. You know, I'm on all social media. You know, you can find me at The Real A-Rob on Instagram. That's right, The Real A-Rob, one and only. But, yeah, you know, nothing much going on over here. You know, God bless America. And hopefully we can all make this world a better place.
Hold on. AR, before you go, Thursday night matchup, who do you like? Miami on the road up against Baltimore.
Well, Miami just lost their quarterback, so we're going to go Baltimore.
That's funny.
He said, that's funny.
The way Baltimore looked last week, oh, boy. Okay. Minnesota cooked the hell out of him with Case Keenum. Oh, my goodness.
But Tavius, like, he just came out of college. My man had 120 million yards rushing. He's still winning now.
Listen, if the Ravens – I'll save this for another show. I had this for the cookout, too. I had it, but I slipped up on it, Sports City. That is my fault. I did slip up on it. Seriously, I need to – okay, who do you like in the game before I let you get your plug, close out, shout out? Dolphins or Baltimore?
I don't like neither team, to be painfully honest with you. However, I think Matt Moore is more skilled than Joe Flacco at this point. He has a little bit more weaponry to add his own.
Matt Moore? More skilled?
Yo, check this out.
Jesus.
Check this out. Matt Moore came in and orchestrated a comeback win on Sunday, okay? He has a little bit more weapons to throw
at. But it was the Jets. It was the Jets.
Hey,
it was the Jets. Don't sit there,
and act like
he beat the Broncos or he beat somebody.
Oh, check it out. You're talking about the same Jets team that almost beat the Patriots a week ago that the Patriots got dealt up by.
First off, they beat the Patriots.
Okay, I rest my damn case. So that's what I was saying about the whole Patriot nonsense and this and the third. So, again, I think Matt Moore has a little more talent to at his disposal than the Baltimore Ravens do. I expect a low-scoring game at the end of the day, but I think at the end of the day that the Ravens come up short because their inability to produce any type of legitimate resemblance of an offense. So I got the Dolphins winning this one 13-6 or something like that. It's
going to
be
up. Plug, close out, shout out.
Anyways, man, it's your boy Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to once again be here in the building with you gentlemen. Shout out to those that, you know, download the show, whether, you know, you're on Blog Talk Radio or, you know, any of our other social media outlets. So again, shout out to 105.3 for checking us out, man. Hopefully we can do some business to hear from you guys soon out here in the Winchester, Front Royal area. Also, man, definitely check me out on social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm on it all, man, so definitely check me out, man. Support series, man. Rockets, y'all dropped one yesterday, man. Let's get back. Penguins, y'all doing work. Keep doing your thing. Still a nation. Let's go into the D and smack them little kitty cats in their face. You know what I'm saying? I got some big stuff to talk later. But, yeah, man, it's your boy Sirius, man. I'm out for you, man. I'll be
Look, you already got Martavius trying to break y'all up. Martavius about to break y'all up, man. I love it, man. Go on, Martavius. Keep doing what you do, boy. Keep doing what you do, man. My pick, I'm going to go with the Dolphins as well. I'm going to go with Sirius. The reason why, I understand Minnesota has a legit defense. But they couldn't put any points on the board. Like, really. They could not put any points on the board. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins on that one. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here Thursday night with the Crossover Cafe. Me, Keezy, AR, and the rest of the boys to do the usual work as usual. Food for thought. Hopefully y'all can do these dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. Since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned into a monster. Sorry mama, I promised you what you gave me, but I wouldn't went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.